Great to have you along here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention on the program to extension. Used to be called Cooperative Extension and had an ag agent in every Wisconsin county, but it's really restructured in a much different way, I think, to meet the demands or the needs of farmers in our state. And we're going to be talking with a couple of experts, people who know a lot about the changes and what it might mean for farmers, maybe to you here in this state, with our two guests as we move along during the hour. We are in the year-end member drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I want to take a couple of minutes with Jill Nadeau to talk about that. You count on WPR News for reporting, for in-depth discussions, and your support keeps these conversations going strong. So I hope you'll give a gift now. Your gift makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2025. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we're starting out with a bang today, Larry. It's the start of a special 48-hour challenge. So become a WPR sustainer by making an ongoing monthly gift, and your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar.
And the match is up to $10,000, and it's offered by a generous group of members as a way of encouraging you to sustain the programs that inform and inspire you here at WPR and certainly the entire state of Wisconsin.
It absolutely is, and your participation now is really vital. You can help meet this match before end of day tomorrow. It starts with your sustaining gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and of course we get funding from the federal government and from state government, but it's really a voluntary listener contribution or contributions that make up the largest source of our funding.
So what that means is that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important you are, make a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, you can kind of celebrate the end of the year by supporting WPR. Your gift ensures that we continue to provide quality program in the new year. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I think it's a great business model in that it operates using donations from people and donations from corporations. It works. I'm happy to donate because I think it's so important. And I'm happy to donate more because I know there's some people out there that can't. It's just great company in the house. I'm Mary from Menominee, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for everyday listening.
Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, still the biggest source of our funding for WPR.
That's right. Mary from Menominee is a very sensible woman, Mary, or Larry.
She knows her business.
She knows what she's doing. And we know that you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio just takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do it, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
And if you give now, you can make an even greater impact because you're going to become an ongoing monthly giver. You can get the first year of installments matched dollar for dollar. Join as a sustainer right now with your monthly gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I always talk myself into contributing extra every single drive. And this drive, I'm going to do it in part for those socks, the WPR socks.
Before they're gone, Larry. Yeah, do it soon. It's a limited amount, apparently.
Yeah. I'll have to
it
do
says
it
while
after
supplies last. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll do it right now. But what about you? I think you're going to love these WPR-themed socks. They're cozy and practical. Looks like they're made of good quality.
They're wool.
Yeah, they're wool.
Merino wool.
So how do you get them? Well, you can contribute at least $15 a month or more, and we'll send you a pair.
That's right.
Go to WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It won't be for Christmas, but you'll get them in the middle of the winter when it's dull and, you know, cold outside.
It'll
and
be
like,
nice
oh,
surprise.
Thank goodness I did that. Naomi in Hayward says, I've been a listener for over 50 years, and I have learned so much.
Your gift right now can make a big difference. It's powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your gift. As we turn our attention to extension and how it is meeting the needs of agriculture in the state. As I mentioned a few minutes back here, one time we had cooperative extension. We had an ag agent in every county in the state. I interviewed them, many of them, not all 72, but I got a lot of them over the years. But now we have restructured with UW-Madison Division of Extension. And I wanted to talk about that change because I think it's important for everybody, whether you're a farmer or not, for sure. And we've got a couple of guests to talk about it. One of them, Heidi Johnson, is director of the UW-Madison Division of Extension Agriculture Institute. That's the name. One of the changes. All right, that's the new name. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. And one of our new hires is also with us today. Relatively new hire, Stephen Hall. He's an assistant professor and extension specialist in the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences in the UW-Madison College of Ag and Life Sciences. Steve Hall, thank you for joining in.
Well, it's a pleasure. Great to be here, Larry.
And as we talk with Stephen and Heidi, I hope you'll join in with your questions or experience to share about UW Extension and the Agriculture Institute. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Heidi, let me turn to you first. You've worked for the extension for, I think, past 15 years or so. What's the mission of UW Extension, this new role of the Agriculture Institute?
Yeah, so we have always wanted to take the very, very excellent research that happens in the university and be able to take it to the citizens of the state to apply it to real world problems. So that's the mission of all of Extension, is to really, we are the Wisconsin idea. I like to remind people that we are the original Wisconsin idea. We are all across the state, and I have to give a nod to the other institutes. I am the Ag Institute, but there are six institutes in Extension that cover a wide breadth and depth of different topics, and they have staff all across the state as well. So I represent 1/6 of our institutes, and particularly focused on agriculture. Although a part of the Ag Institute is the HORT program, so I also have to mention, while we serve farmers, we also serve consumer horticulture audiences that want to know about how to grow things the best way, so we do that as well. So really my mission, since I've been the Institute Director over the last 6 years, has been to continue to evolve and improve how we do that. How do we take the best research that we have and apply it to real world problems for the people that need it?
Yeah, and it's a big job. There's no doubt about it. And Steve, I know you're relatively new, let's say. The last couple of years, the Ag Institute, I think, has hired a lot of people, 35 outreach specialists, I think, something like that, and regional educators as well, over 20, 24 maybe, something like that. And Steve, you're one of those new hires.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a really exciting time to join Extension, and there's great energy and enthusiasm, and I think we're really hitting the ground.
So you started as an Extension specialist and an assistant professor in the College of Ag and Life Sciences, and I got to tell you, that's how I started, too. I was an Extension specialist and a professor, but how do these For you now and the new organization and everything, how do these two roles relate to one another?
Absolutely. I think it's sort of the best of two worlds, right? We get to be, you know, faculty at a world-class research university and train graduate students and do cutting-edge research, but we have a direct avenue to get those findings on the ground, as Heidi mentioned. And so, you know, with our linkages to extension to the regional specialists, we have really well-trained colleagues that can help us do more than we could just sitting in Madison. I mean, there's only a certain amount, as you know, Larry, like there's only a certain amount one person or one team can do. But, you know, within extension, we have access to wide range of folks around the state and to their own networks with farmers and other stakeholders.
So, Heidi, back to you for a minute. Let's kind of talk about this role a bit more in this organization a bit more, because it, you know, we no longer have an ag agent or a hort agent, ag or hort. Usually they were often double duty. So how does it look differently then?
And I'll just point out, we really have three different position types now. So Stephen is what we call an integrated faculty. So Extension funds him, but he really resides in the College of Ag, and that allows him to collaborate really well with other faculty at UW-Madison to do great research. So we have those integrated faculty, we call them, that are in other units. And then out across Wisconsin, we have two types of positions now. We have what are called outreach specialists, and those positions really cover a big geography of the state, or almost the whole state, or a big portion of the state, and they're focused on a specific discipline. And so we have about 35 of those, you mentioned, Larry. And then we also have what are called regional educators, and those regional educators are either in crop, dairy, or livestock, and they're covering about 3 to 5 counties. And so we have this sort of layering that's happening now with our staffing that allows us to both be able to connect, because we really survive and do our work by connecting with people. That's our specialization, is the relationships we develop in extension. So we want to be able to connect with people across the state, but we also want discipline expertise. And so that's what the staffing plan that we've done over the last few years was meant to do, was to both be able to connect at the local level, but be able to maintain the type of discipline expertise we need to work with producers across the state.
I was thinking back just the other day, we talked to the Department of Surgery at UW-Madison, and we talked about how that sort of grew, and you know, there were people in the beginning that were doing everything, sort of like our county ag agents were right. doing, and then they specialized, and you know, and people got the doctors got much more specialized in right. and really knowledgeable about particular areas, and that sounds like what you got going with extension.
Exactly. And we're really, we're evolving with our clientele. So this is exactly what agriculture looks like. So back 100 years ago, when Extension started doing the ag agent model, farms were smaller, more diversified. There was many, many more of them. And there was a different way that they were getting their information. Now farms have gotten bigger, as most people are aware. They're more technical. There's a lot of technical aspects to farming. So I usually joke with farmers and say they don't usually have a crop consultant that also provides them their dairy nutrition information. Those are specialized roles in agriculture. And so Extension, the Ag Institute, really has looked at how do we follow what our clientele are doing. They have specialized, we should really be specialized so that we are relevant to that cutting edge of agriculture.
How do you keep that going, and how do you keep up to date on what farmers are wanting then through this new setup?
Yes. So our outreach specialist positions, and even our regional educators, they really specialize in something. And Stephen's position is a really great example. Stephen focuses on water quality, and he's doing research around the intersection of agriculture and water quality. And so we also have ag water outreach specialists, and those outreach specialists are really, they have a deep understanding of the latest research on the intersection of ag and water quality, and they're able to deliver that information to the farming community. So we also have a beef outreach specialist. Because he only does beef, he can focus on beef production. He can know the latest research on beef production and deliver that to our clientele. So really allowing someone to have a very much more specific position allows them to stay deep and knowledgeable about that topic. So I personally served as a general county agent as I started my career with Extension, and it's overwhelming to think about answering a tree question in the morning and then trying to get have someone come to you with their beef nutrition question. It's overwhelming, and you feel like you can't be good at anything because you're so busy trying to do everything.
Yeah, makes sense. Heidi Johnson and Stephen Hall, our guests today. Heidi's director of the Agriculture Institute within the Division of Extension. Stephen Hall, Steve's an assistant professor and also an extension specialist in the Department of Plant Agroecosystem Sciences at the UW-Madison in the department, in the College of Ag and Life Sciences. There's a lot, I know, and I know that these folks are really smart and up to date and experts. And one of the experts in radio that I know is Jill Nadeau. If I have a question, I'd go to Jill.
And I have an answer. Whether it's true or not, I'll give you an answer, Larry.
Here she is to talk about our year-end member drive. And it just we have to kind of keep reminding people, or people come and they go on the air. They're listening. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. Some people listen through the whole show. But in case you're just tuning in, your financial support is the foundation for all the great news coverage and discussions you enjoy here every single day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2024 at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And today you can make an even greater impact when you become a sustainer. Do it right now. And here's how it works. Make an ongoing monthly gift to support WPR programs, and your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar.
We've got a group of generous members who've created this challenge to inspire your ongoing monthly support of the programs you and your community rely on.
And we have until the end of day tomorrow to match up to $10,000 of new sustaining gifts. So your monthly gift of any amount now makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a part of Extension for my whole career, so it was really exciting for me to be able to talk about the changes that are coming or have come and are continuing to evolve as we move along here. And I think it's important whether you're, I'm not a farmer, I'm not in it, but I'm interested in it for what it means for the whole state of Wisconsin. And these are the kinds of programs we like to do. We like to provide programming that probably unique to public radio. And here we are, listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and then make your gift.
And a great way to support WPR is becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustainer, you make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
I'm a sustainer every single time we have one of these.
I'm a sustainer year-round,
that's
Larry.
Not what we're talking about. Many people give 10 or 20 bucks a month, and you choose whatever amount's right for you. You can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I really like listening to shows that have a combination of both news and social commentary. So I love shows like The Best of Our Knowledge, and I love the fun stuff on the weekends. For me, it's really nice to feel like I'm both getting news and entertainment and not wanting to turn off the radio when I get to my destination.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click Donate.
You know, I've sat in the car a few times.
Me too.
And to hear the end of a conversation, and it's one of the kind of fun things about listening to WPR. Maybe that's happened to you. If it has, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Your support's so important. Your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member, and thank you, so much. Consider making an extra gift to say $50 or $100 at WPR.org at 888-202-2552. Join in this drive. Remember, it's tax deductible. And thank you for your extra support for the programs that you enjoy every day.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and help out with our new sustainer challenge today. Up to $10,000. You can choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and your entire first year will be matched dollar for dollar. Join us a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right, and I just got an update, Larry. We're climbing up there. We just have $8,116 to go. So we're climbing. It's slow, but
it's
we
slow.
Are climbing.
Yes. We are. We are. We are climbing, and we'll climb a lot faster if people could only see those socks.
Oh,
those
I
socks,
agree.
I'm telling you,
they're
toasty,
so cool.
They're moisture wicking, if you wanted to know. And
wow.
They use breathable merino wool.
The best.
And they're made right here in the U.S. of A.
Wonderful. So USA sheep.
So how do you get how do you get a pair? Well, when you give $15 a month or more, we'll send you a pair at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. Maybe it's been a while. Whatever amount that you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Like Vernon and Stevens Point says, it is the least that I can do to do because I listen to WPI several hours a day.
Join in with your gift right now. So important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Well, after years of reorganization, the Agriculture Institute within UW-Madison's Division of Extension has a growing staff of experts and researchers to help Wisconsin farmers and those interested in horticulture. Of course, farmers are too, but there are home horticulture folks as well that may be a part of this. We should ask Heidi about that. Heidi Johnson is who I'm talking about. It's the Institute Director. And we also have with us a guy who knows a lot about water and water quality and working with farmers in relation to water. Stephen Hall is an extension specialist within Extension and the College of Ag and Life Sciences. So those are our guests. Give a call if you have a question or maybe an experience that you've had with Extension. I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm looking at the numbers a little bit, and we're not going to necessarily have a specialist in every county, but there will be people working within maybe, what, five counties, Heidi, or three sort of areas, right?
Yeah. The regional educators cover 3 to 5 counties for crops, dairy, or livestock production. And then we also have outreach specialists that are across the state covering different disciplinary areas. I will mention also for horticulture, we do still have some county-specific horticulture educators, and as most people might guess, they are mostly represented in our urban areas because that's where there's a lot of horticulture education. So our county funding partner really values having horticulture educators in the counties, and they have continued to fund having county-specific hort educators in many places across the state.
As you might know, I do a show called Garden Talk every Friday.
And very familiar.
We have leaned heavily on the Extension horticulture specialists. Because they know a lot. They know a lot about across a broad range of things. And is there, so the outreach folks, do they get to travel? I mean, do they go out and travel, or what happens there?
Yes, they do go out and travel quite a bit. One of the things that happened during the pandemic is our farmers actually quickly adapted to online education. It was actually a big surprise for me about how quickly our clientele pivoted to that delivery model. And so we've been able to use a lot of online delivery. It doesn't replace the extension relationship part. And so we do need to pair that with, you know, in person. But what we've been able to do is maybe have, you know, someone in one location that can host an event. And then sometimes they're bringing in someone by Zoom to give a presentation. And so we've been able to bring together the best of both worlds of using, online delivery, but still keeping some place-based educational programs. So farmers also have something to attend.
Very cool. John in Stoughton has a question. Let's go there. John, hi.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
So my daughter's going to be a senior in high school next year, and she's looking for some sort of real-life experience with horticulture or entomology. That's her field of interest for what she wishes to pursue for college.
So are there – so I guess John's asking through extension, are there opportunities – in the areas of horticulture or entomology for internship purposes? You may, you know, something you may not be familiar with, Heidi, but.
Yeah. We sometimes use interns for various things. It's not a regular thing for us in extension. Sometimes for specific project-based things we do. I would highly recommend looking into a undergrad program in horticulture or entomology. I personally have a master's in entomology and can tell you that the entomology department at UW-Madison is excellent, and there's a lot of learning experiences. They have an insect ambassador program where you can actually go take insects out and interact with kids. And so I would highly recommend anyone coming out of high school consider that at UW-Madison.
Yeah. John, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jonah in Suamico. Hi, Jonah. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I had a question about aquifers groundwater versus exposed water.
Okay.
Which is more difficult to clean up after a, say, like chemical spill or leaching from chemicals from fertilizers? Which is more difficult to clean up?
Definitely sending that one to Steven.
Yeah, I know. Steven just grinned. He knew he was going to be talking. Go ahead, Steve.
Absolutely. That's a great question. I think it really, unfortunately, it sort of depends, right? It depends sort of the scales that we're talking about. One challenge with groundwater is that oftentimes the pollutant inputs, the problems that we have are many decades in the making. It simply, you know, it really depends on how shallow or deep an aquifer we're thinking about. So one example, right, a lot of Wisconsin is dealing with nitrate issues that have sort of accumulated over decades. And it's honestly, in many of these cases, it's going to take us decades to start making progress. Surface water, right, we may be able to make some more immediate changes again, but it's sort of a question of scale. How big of an impact can we actually have? And where is that surface water going, right? If it's flowing to a lake and we're driving phosphorus inputs to that lake, again, we may be dealing with a long-lived problem. It's a great question. You know, we could discuss it for a whole show or more.
So what's the, let's zero in on some of your research then, Steve, because I know you're doing some work on soil sample. You're working in the north central part of the state, are you not? Explain what you're up to, and that gives us a good example of how things are working within extension now.
For sure. I'll maybe highlight a couple of projects that involve really close interactions with our extension staff. And so There's a lot of producers that are really interested in understanding what practices they might be able to implement to get a handle on some of these water quality problems like nitrate leaching, for example. And so we have some projects in the Central Sands. This is an area of the state that's especially vulnerable to nitrate losses, but it's also really a hotbed of agricultural production for the state. A lot of really high value specialty crops that are really important to the economy. And so we've had some great partnerships with farmers that are very interested in thinking outside the box in terms how they might be able to adopt new practices to get a handle on this. So thinking about unusual soil amendments, different ways of managing crop residues, creative ways of that we might think about changing our fertilization strategies. And in all of these projects, there's active involvement from the local extension staff.
And so the local staff is kind of carrying out that, or helping carry out that research, or carrying out that research?
Yeah, a little bit of both. And so it's really sort of a triangulation between our group and that local staff and the farmers. And I think, you know, that sort of that combination has been really valuable, having, you know, the specialized field staff that have a, you know, a closer relationship, and then we can come in and hopefully provide some more insight about how best to design studies or to measure different things or deal with data.
Heidi Johnson and Stephen Hall, our guests today, as we talk about those changes within Extension and how it is impacting, I think in a positive way, our farming community and our agriculture community. And you can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@wpr.org as we coast through our year-end member drive. And just to mention again here, your chance to support the news and conversations you count on every day that keep you in touch, informed, inspired. Your gift right now makes a big difference at WPR.org, or you can phone 888-202-2552. So important as we end this year and look forward to 2025. And Jill, you probably want to talk about sustainers.
I always want to talk about sustainers, Larry, and today is a special day because, well, first of all, sustainers is when you set up ongoing monthly gifts in support of the programs that you like. Well, this time, right now, your first year of installments is going to be matched dollar for dollar. So this is because a very generous group of members has set aside $10,000 to encourage folks to sustain WPR.
And I think there's about $8,000 left, so still room for you, your gift to be matched. Start your monthly gift any amount right now, and it'll be matched at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And in a single month, think about this, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. There is so much to learn, so many interesting people to meet and topics to discover. And when you support WPR with a donation, you make all of those conversations possible. So take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We do probably about 50, at least 50 a month just for our program, for the Larry Mueller Show program.
Oh, yeah, at least.
At the least. And I tell you what, sometimes you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is a place where I think that's true every day with the hundreds of interviews and discussions that you have. Maybe consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
And you know, $2 doesn't buy much these days, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day actually makes a lot of news or music or information possible. So that works out to about $60 a month. And you know, if you think about one of those subscriptions that you have that you probably don't remember you have, this is a much better deal because you use it every day. So make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
First of all, I really believe in what Wisconsin Public Radio does. When I would listen to the pledge drives every year, I would often think, oh yeah, I should call in, or go online and pledge, and then eventually I would do that. When it came around this year, I just thought, you know, this would be so much easier to just do a monthly donation sustaining public radio. Being a sustainer is good for me because I know that I'm doing my fair share. Even if it's not the largest contribution, it's a steady monthly contribution that I know is helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
And John, thank you so much for that. Appreciate it very much. What about you? You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau.
That's me.
That's her. And we're asking you to support the quality programs that you value on the station. And your contribution, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really does make a difference.
And if you've never given to WPR before, well, here's what to expect. It's a really short process. It takes just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name, address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
And that's pretty much it. Yep. Make that first donation to WPR. You're going to feel good about it. And I know many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. That amount really up to you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And make an even greater impact when you become an ongoing monthly giver right now. Your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar. Join as a sustainer right now with your monthly gift of any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm thinking of starting the WPR Sox Club. I could be the president. Anybody who has a pair of those WPR socks, we can get together at a local place and
For a sock hop, Larry. You could have a sock hop.
I tell you what, we're offering a good pair of these socks. They're really nice. You could become a part of the Larry Mueller and WPR Sock Club with gift right now. At they really are. I mean, all kidding aside,
yeah,
these
very
are nice socks. Ask for your pair when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Sophie in Milwaukee says, I grew up in a household which deeply valued public radio. It's important to me to continue supporting the tremendous work that you all do. Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie. I did that, too. I was a young kid listening to WPR at home. My folks always had it on at noon, as a matter of fact.
And who knew you'd grow up to be a huge part of it, Larry?
Oh, huge is right. I need to lose some weight. Join with your gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Great to have you along today. We're taking a look at the Agriculture Institute within UW-Madison's Division of Extension with two guests. Heidi Johnson is director of the Ag Institute. Stephen Hall, assistant professor and extension specialist in the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences in the UW College of Ag and Life Sciences. Great to have both of them with us. Questions about it or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. And let's turn to Mark in Wisconsin Dells next. Mark, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I often see people gathered at Das Bauerschule out in the countryside, and I've often wondered if that's an extension program.
The Bauerschule, it's an Amish program, a farmer school, if I'm not wrong in that. You guys have a knowledge of that, and whether has extension played a part in that at all?
I do not believe we have any touch with that program. I mean, we definitely, Amish are one of our audiences, and so we definitely work with Amish producers on a variety of things, but aren't specifically involved in that one.
And, okay, Mark, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Let's talk a bit more about some of the projects now. Steve talked about some of the water research projects. Could you outline some of the things that are going on in the other areas? Because it's not only water, it's other areas as well.
Sure, yes. We have a wide variety of programming that happens across the Ag Institute, and I would definitely recommend checking out our website if people have not before, just to see the type of events and things that we have going on. But I will say, Stephen mentioned this collaborative research, and that's a big push that we are doing right now in the Ag Institute, because farmers are very interested in being a part of research on their own farms. Not only does it help with them to see it and experience it, but they also become believers in the outcomes of that research, and they help us share that message. And so we're doing lots of research, not just around water quality, but crop production, different ways of producing crops with different methods. We do lots of that across the state, doing dairy research on dairy farms, different aspects of dairy production. And I think that really is our niche. There's a lot of ways people can get information right now on the internet, and trying to sort through what's real and what they really think could work on their actual farm or in their actual yard. People really want to experience it. And I think that's what the university's niche will be now, is really helping people evaluate things on their own property as a way to increase adoption.
So will a lot of the research that is going on within the College of Ag and Life Sciences, will that be directed in some ways by what is coming from the folks out in the field?
Yeah, it's always a two-way conversation. So, you know, people like Stephen have, they only can develop their research questions and their research protocols if they're out there listening to the people that are experiencing things on the other end. And that's the wonderful part about Extension, is it's a two-way street. And so we continue to have that open dialogue with our clientele to hear what they want to know about, and we help them design the evaluation. So, Stephen, you
want to? Yeah,
absolutely. And just building on what Heidi said, you know, I think a lot of our best ideas come from farmers. It's right. It's, you know, that's where a lot of the creativity happens. And then we start that circular relationship of helping to, you know, test something out, give the results back, and they say, well, this works, this doesn't work, maybe we try it differently next time. And so it's a great conversation to be a part of.
Jim in Port St. Lucie was wondering about financing for this. How, you know, where does the money come from? What's the funding? How does that whole thing work?
Yeah, so I think I can confidently say that Extension has one of the most complicated funding portfolios that ever existed. So I will say that for sure. So we are funded by a mix of federal, state, county, and other dollars. So there's lots of different things. And oftentimes there's a mix of all of those different types of funding on an individual educator, depending on what that educator is doing and where they're working. So it is really a complicated mix. I mean, we are the basis for our effectiveness is relationships. And so those relationships really bring in the funding mixes that we bring together to support the work. So the way that, just specifically to answer the question, the county agent model that we used to have for agriculture was federal and state dollars that we matched with counties to pay for an individual county educator. We've been reimagining that a little bit. Our counties have had tighter budgets over the years. They don't have as many dollars to invest in extension positions. So we've been really reimagining that. And a lot of our outreach positions, particularly the positions that work statewide or in big regions, those are funded mostly by state and federal dollars. They're not part of a relationship with the counties, the county government right now.
And I'm thinking about my own research and the dollars that I procured. A lot of that came from outside research funding.
Yes.
And so I've just wondered, you know, a guy like you, Steve, you're probably applying for grants or research through other outside sources to help fund that work.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Larry, is that all the work that comes out of our lab, the vast majority of it is funded from outside grants from a wide range of federal and sometimes more regional or local or even state agencies.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the system at the UW as a whole, what is it, 1.2 $2 billion or something like that coming into the state through efforts like you and everybody else who is involved in that process. Man, we didn't cover all of it, but we covered a good share of it. And hopefully we can get you both back, or we individually even, to talk more about your specific work and what's been going on. I really appreciate it very much. Heidi Johnson, director of the Agriculture Institute within the Division of Extension, and Stephen Hall is the an assistant professor and extension specialist within the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences at the UW-Madison. And another participant, Jill Nadeau, is also the executive producer of Wisconsin Public Radio's The Larry Mehler Show, and is back with me to talk with you about this year-end member drive. It's really important. Join in and support the news and conversations you rely on as we come up to the kind of the end of our show and the top of the hour. I hope you'll give now in support of this program and all the other shows with a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I'm here to suggest that you do two great things as we close out 2024 on WPR. One, become a sustaining member by making ongoing monthly gifts. And two, get your first year of installments matched.
Yeah, your monthly gifts, along with the matching funds provided by our generous group of members, will benefit the WPR programs you value in the year to come. So start your monthly gift, any amount, right now and get it matched at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we just learned about the new things that are going on at Extension, and really, where else would you hear about this? Mainstream media is probably not going to cover it like we just did. So that's one of the type of things that you tune into WPR to learn about. And you know, WPR is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.
End of the year on a high, you can end the year on a high note with a gift to WPR. Your support makes a difference in the programming we offer all year long. Donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You learned a lot from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this year.
I learned something new every day from Wisconsin Public Radio. Cooking, how to get better sleep, the news of the day, and why I should care.
I learned a few new recipes for meal prep for the upcoming year.
Oh my gosh, I've learned so much from WPR listening, from politics to how to select the right shingles for my roof, what books to read, presents to buy for my friends. I could go on and on.
Here's one more fact before the year ends. The largest source of funding for the news, conversations, and music on WPR is listener support, your support. Now that you know, make your year-end contribution for WPR. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution for our drive. Larry Mehler with Jill Nadeau. It's very important that you give now because our support, our programs depend on your support. And we do live in a generous society.
We do live in a very generous society. It's amazing, you know, sometimes we just hear the bad, but there's so much more good. We're quick to help a neighbor or coworker in need, and we chip in for good causes. And you can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
And if you've never given to WPR before, now's a good time to do it. When you do your funding, the programs you and the many others benefit from every single day. Many times, first-time donors give $10 a month. The amount's totally up to you. If you give $15 a month, we'll send you a pair of socks.
That's right. And if you're a first-time giver, welcome to the family.
Oh, I tell you what, we have so much enjoyed being with you today, as we do every day. Jill and I spend a lot of time here thinking about this program and how we can make it better for you. And I hope you'll take a minute now and support us. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thank you so much.